You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
I've got a bad case of loving you. I got a bad case of an overstrained throat. I am sorry, guys. I know some of you have had to listen to me now all night. My kids got the call of duty, the latest call of duty, and I expected them to be good boys and share it appropriately after they did their homework and after they came back from swim practice. And, of course, no, they were fighting, and I don't really know how to discipline my boys because, you know, they're starting to get big and they're faster than I am. Doesn't that stink? Do you guys remember that moment in time when your kid could outrun you? I mean, I've been a runner. I'm pretty fast. I never thought I would see that day, but even my nine-year-old can, outrun me. So I just stand there and yell, and I yelled and yelled and yelled before the show, and I strained my voice. So I'm sorry if I sound a little masculine and raspy, but I sound like that lady from Private Benjamin, right? That sergeant. Oh gosh, I probably look like her today too. You know what? But I remember the first time I was able to duck, you know, when my dad would swing, right? About the first time I could duck, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could duck. It was kind of like a Spider-Man powers. Remember Spider-Man was able to duck? He was able to go, backwards, you know, lean backwards and completely duck because he kind of had spidey speed, right? And you're like, whoa. So, I guess, you know, to each his own. I was really excited when that happened to me as a kid. And now my kids, they know it. So what I need to do is I need to kind of do some Rocky workouts, right? And then shock them because they still need to know mama's tough. It's just, I'm now looking like the witch just sitting there yelling, and I got to save my voice, right? I got people to entertain or attempt to entertain. All right, guys, let's talk about today on the Dr. Dahlia Show. It was interesting. Herman Cain had, in a press conference today, discussed that he would take a lie detector test to rebut Sharon Bialik's claims. And I've been getting questions about lie detector tests and fingerprints, so I thought it would be cool to talk about fingerprints and, you know, the history of fingerprints, you know, being used in forensic science. I just love forensic science. I think that's pretty, pretty cool. I also want to talk about these kids and this synthetic marijuana. I mean, you know, remember a child died because it burned his lungs. He had chemical burns to his lungs, and he had a lung transplant, and then he ended up dying because his immunity was so weak. Well, I guess three kids might have had heart trouble and heart attacks. We're talking about teenagers having heart attacks from synthetic marijuana. So we need to talk about that. Also, of course, I have, you know, some opinions to share with some current events, which I always do. I had discussed CPR in the earlier show. I may kind of touch upon some CPR as well if we have time. So as you can see, we've got a lot to talk about. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. We are also taking your emails at drdahlia.com, drdahlia.com. Of course, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Now, yesterday, before the show ended, I had talked about, I'm trying to remember exactly why I was talking about it, but I was talking about how when I was young, I had no idea what to expect from a doctor visit. And the doctor visit I had for my kidney stone, I thought was pretty inappropriate. And I was talking to the story, and we ran out of time. Some of you are probably like, oh, thank God we ran out of time. But basically, for those of you that missed it yesterday, I'd had a kidney stone when I was 19. I'd passed a kidney stone. I was supposed to go to a urologist, and I don't know why the doctor sent me to a nephrologist. Two different types of doctors. Urologists are the ones that deal with the anatomy and the anything surgical or anything that you could basically kind of touch when it comes to the kidneys. Yet your nephrologist deals with the function of the kidneys. So, you know, whenever you have a kidney stone, we like to send you to a urologist. Number one is to make sure you pass them all. Number two is to make sure that, you know, there isn't any sequelae or, you know, adverse events that occurred from that. You know, three, to try to stop you from making more, whether they're calcium stones, uric acid stones, et cetera. Well, for some reason, I was referred to a nephrologist, and the nephrologist had the nurse leave the room after I was undressed, examined me, and I think he examined some body parts that he really didn't need to examine. And from what I remember, the exam really wasn't what we were taught to do in medical school, but I didn't realize it was inappropriate contact. I had no idea. I just thought, well, this is the first time I'm going to a doctor. I mean, I had gone to pediatricians, but it was the first time I was going as an adult to an adult doctor. So I thought that was all par for the course. And then, of course, when I was in medical school and the professor was teaching us about kidney stones and asking us to shout out, you know, how to address the patient, and we're saying, oh, you need to run a urinalysis, you need to run an ultrasound, do XYZ. I'm like, wait a second, you completely forgot the breast exam, you completely forgot the vaginal exam, you completely forgot, you know, and they're looking at me like, what the heck are you talking about? And that's when I realized the exam I had was inappropriate. And, you know, and I brought that up because I want to highlight the fact that, you know, many of us as patients, we don't know what to ask. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what's appropriate or what's not appropriate. Now, I never made a complaint because by the time I realized what this doctor had done, years had passed. I mean, I was already well into medical school, and this had happened first or second year undergrad. So years had passed. I didn't even think about, I just, you know, I realized it happened. I was mad. I didn't really want revenge. You'd think I'd want revenge, but there was nothing I could do. I was in a different city, and I was like, you know, dang. But, you know, if you don't know what you're supposed to ask or what you're supposed to request, I'm a little concerned about how things are now going as we go into healthcare and the changes with healthcare. You know, for example, I have patients that come in saying, but I don't have to do pap smears now every 3 years. I had a young lady say she doesn't need a mammogram until she's 50 because that's what it says in the newspaper. And I'm frustrated because many people are going to be getting their information from the wrong sources. I don't think the newspaper is the best source for you to get medical advice. And unless the patient comes into the doctor's office and speaks to the doctor, then how are they going to know that what they're being taught is wrong? I just want to talk a little bit more about this. Take your calls when we come back on the Dr. Dahlia Show, 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The main name in military supply.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter. But do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to Instafire.com, spelled I-N-S-T-A-Fire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
She's alive. She's alive.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show, Sassy and Stimulating Medical Talk Radio. Taking your calls at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC. D-A-L-I, your emails at drdahlia.com, and of course, please follow me on Twitter and Facebook so I can give you guys up-to-the-date information. All right, I want to go to some of the phone lines and some of the phone messages that we got. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI.
I just got through hearing your story about your kidney stone and the examination that you went through, and from the tone of your voice and the way you describe it, you've identified it as an inappropriate examination. I'm wondering if in today's society where everything is politically correct and what is needed or not needed, proper or improper and everything else, we put so many walls up and definitions to what is appropriate and not appropriate. My opinion is when a doctor lays hands on you and checks you, I mean, especially a kidney stone, isn't it better that he examine more and check more to see if any other result effects may have happened, like an infection or something from your kidney stone or other ailment? I mean, my opinion is more examination is better than less examination. And in today's society, we deem that as inappropriate because it's not, I don't know, a protocol? That's what I've got to say. And I think any examination over and above beyond the call of duty is better than none. Thank you.
All right. I mean, you have a good point, but you're speaking to somebody that has boobies. Okay, and you know, true. I think doctors need to be thorough. We have an issue that I've noticed where patients will come in saying, "I had a physical. My doctor never even used a stethoscope." So, if you're talking about thoroughness and actually trying to find a diagnosis, that yes, you need a thorough exam. But when you already have the diagnosis, a kidney stone, and this is somebody who his specialty is just supposed to be the beans, the kidneys. I don't know if a breast exam is appropriate. Or was it appropriate for the nurse not to be in the room, right? Or what? Or at least explain why it needs to be done. I mean, here's an example. When gynecologists do exams on women over 40, they do something called a bimanual exam. All right. And I know some of you are eating your sandwich. Put your sandwich down, especially my truckers out there. Put your sandwich down. All right. So basically, when you do the bimanual, at first you examine the vagina. You have, a couple fingers in there checking the uterus, checking the ovaries, checking for masses. Now, because we aren't examining the woman standing up and having the aid of gravity to hopefully bring down masses, the woman is lying down, right, in the pap smear lithotomy position. So you can miss unless you go into the rectal area. So you put a finger into the rectal area and you do what we call a bimanual, where you look at the wall in between the vagina and the rectum. You could feel if there's masses behind the uterus. It's actually a very effective way of feeling for posterior uterine masses, etc. All right, so it's a very, very thorough exam. Right? Would you do that exam when evaluating somebody for pink eye? Sorry. Do you see what I mean? More is not always better unless the doctor is telling the patient, look, okay, do you want a full physical? Are you here for a full physical? Do you want me to check for ovarian pathology? Do you want me to check for blood in the stool? Do you want me to check for ovarian mass? It's true, you're here for pink eye. Do you want me to? And if the patient gives consent, then go ahead with the exam. But no, I don't think it's appropriate without discussing why it's necessary to do a breast exam on somebody that had a kidney stone. I don't. I think it was inappropriate. Not that y'all want to hear about my stories, and I don't want to say, inappropriate exams are performed all the time. They're rare. It's rare, but it happens. We did have an episode on the show where we talked about, did you ever feel like something was inappropriate or was something appropriately done, but you didn't understand why it was done? And when I just talked about the rectal vaginal exam. No, don't, you can't eat yet. You can eat on break. Put the sandwich down. When I was talking about the rectal vaginal exam, somebody had called saying, the doctor stuck his finger in my butt while doing the pap smear, while I was there for a pap smear. What's going on with that? Well, that's how we check for posterior masses. That's how we check for rectal masses. Women over 40 get a rectal exam just like a man does. So you see, sometimes people don't realize it's inappropriate. A big topic I get all the time is, the doctor tried to manipulate my breast when listening to my heart. Now this is always kind of foggy because if a doctor's supposed to examine your heart, okay, and again, I I'm sure men sometimes feel they're assaulted also, but women, all right, a lot of times our breasts are in the vicinity of her heart. Before I had a couple kids and before I breastfed, mine were two. All right. So now, when the orthopedist has examined my knee, the breast is an issue. But for the rest of the women with perky breasts, if the breast is sitting near the vicinity of the heart, if a doctor is going to examine all the cardiac sounds appropriately, you listen to the right side of the heart, you listen to the left side of the heart, you listen to the apex of the heart. Now, the apex of the heart, that area, if you kind of draw a line from the air all the way into the body, the breast is in the way. Now, a doctor could move the breast out of the way. The doctor could ask the patient to move the breast out of the way, or he could skip that part of the exam. Now, so patients will say, oh my gosh, he put his stethoscope under my breast. Well, he's got to listen to the heart. You know, is that really inappropriate? Is that really assault? No. You know, so a lot of us don't know, but that's why I'm here. That's why I'm on air. That's why I have emails. You can ask me. You can be anonymous. You know, you can be anonymous. You're like, look, I don't know. I mean, if you ask, because you don't know. I wish I knew back then, because I would have probably told this doctor to stop. I would have probably told this doctor, no, my gynecologist could look down there. You know, have doctors been, you know, halfway? I mean, should exams be thorough? If somebody's coming in for infection, if somebody is coming in weight loss, yes, we do need to be thorough. If somebody's anemic, you know, I get this all the time. Patient goes, you know, oh, my gosh, I had anemia and my doctor stuck his finger up my butt. Well, okay, realize that's what doctors do. All right, you know, we were blessed with fingers for a reason. But the reason why he did a rectal exam, which is the medical term for sticking a finger up one's butt, the reason why he did that is if somebody is anemic, we like to look for blood loss. And in men, since they don't have periods, one of the number one sites for blood loss, well, I guess one of the number one, I would say number one after a certain age, could be the GI tract. I mean, if guys aren't having nosebleeds and they aren't nicking themselves shaving and they don't have a uterus and they're losing blood and they're microcytically anemic with low iron, we have to look in the GI tract. So, yeah, we'll do a rectal exam. We'll check for hemorrhoids. We'll check for rectal masses. We'll try to take some of the stool out and check for blood in the stool. That's kind of what we do. Women, you know, if you're still menstruating, it could be periods or it still could be GI tract as well. So, you know, how do we educate people so they know what's going on, so they understand that they're not, you know, being assaulted, or if they think something's wrong, they feel comfortable, you know, talking about it and asking about it. I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea for people to be taught in school. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many girls look at me completely shocked when I bring up the concept of a pap smear. I'm like, well, you know, you've had sex, you know, you're coming in with burning when you pee, this could be the clap. Huh? You know, and I'm like, really, nobody, you know, I mean, maybe when they teach sex ed in school, they need to kind of talk about what these exams are. I mean, boys, you know, many boys don't realize they need to check their testicles. Guys get testicular cancer. You guys should get testicular cancer at any age, but especially the young guys, they need to check themselves, huh? I'm supposed to do what? What? No, no, really? Yes. Yeah, you know, I mean, we need to educate people. We need, and I understand that the average teenager or 20-some-year-old doesn't listen to my show, nor does the average adult, for that matter. All right, so I get that. I get that. Maybe one of these days somebody will, you know, show them the light, and they will listen to my show and learn something. But you know, I mean, going back to how thorough should an exam be? If you're going in for a full physical, it should be thorough. Absolutely. And the doctor should explain why he's doing and what he's doing for, and allow the patient to decline. I always allow my men to decline a prostate exam if they want. I tell them, look, you know, you're due for it. Do you want it? You know, and some say yes, some say no. I'm not going to force it. You know, otherwise I'd have to do my nails more often. You know, so I mean, you offer exams. Now, if a patient is sick, I mean, you know, when they're coming in and you think they're septic, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you got to save people's lives. You got to save people's lives. But no. Somebody coming in for a kidney stone, I really don't think they need a breast exam unless they're there for a physical. All right, when we come back, we're on the Dr. Dahlia Show, the root of fingerprints. This is cool stuff. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Plant a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
I missed being here. Yeah. Sometimes the breaks are short, sometimes the breaks are long. When I have to pee, the breaks are too short. When I don't have to pee, I'm like, I'm ready. All right. So in the news today, Herman Cain today addressed the media in Phoenix, saying that he was willing to take he would take a lie detector test to refute Sharon Bialik's claim. She was the fourth woman that claimed that he had engaged in some sexually suggestive behavior. I guess she was interested in a job. She wasn't working for the National Restaurant Association at the time. They went to dinner. She claims he made some advancements. Are advancements sexual harassment? But she said he brought up the word job, in the conversation. And then when she asked him to back off, she said he did. She said she's not, going to be making money off of this. She's not asking for money, but you saw Gloria Allred next to her and you're wondering, Gloria Allred, doesn't she need to be paid, or, what's she doing there? for. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of this. But, you know, I had some questions today asking about lie detector tests. What, you know, how exactly do they work? And, you know, what's exactly entailed with it? Well, many of you already know about lie detector tests, but for those of you that don't, pretty, pretty cool stuff. What it does is it measures the breathing rate, it measures the pulse, it measures the blood pressure and perspiration, how much you sweat while you are being asked questions. Okay? And so you're kind of hooked up a lot. You're hooked up hands and feet and, you know, heart rate, blood pressure. And we talked about this on the previous hour where lie detector type of technology, it started back in the late 1800s. They were, you know, testing blood pressure, and then they realized that blood pressure and heart rate goes up. And we kind of went through the timeline of lie detector tests, you know, kind of interesting. And I think someone's wife was involved, and then this couple actually went on to develop Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman had the belt that was used as a lie detector. Remember the golden lasso? Right, the lasso? You know, she would lasso people and they'd have to tell the truth. So it was kind of an interesting interesting story. And then, you know, I had talked about a site, many sites out there that tell you how to cheat the lie detector test, you know, because when you start a lie detector test, they give you control questions because they want to see how you are relaxed. So they ask you simple questions about your name, you know, what color the sky is, and then they go into the meat. So they tell you to kind of, you know, hurt yourself, step on a tack, put a tack in your shoe, you know, try to hurt yourself, play with your breathing during the three control questions, because during the meat of the questions, if you start to sweat more, if your heart rate goes up, if your blood pressure goes up, if you breathe heavily or something, then they'll think you're lying. So, you know, I don't really like this one particular site. You know, I don't want people lying on lie detector tests, a whole person lie detector tests, you know, to get the truth. But, you know, I mean, when there's a will, there's a way. There's always somebody who spends so much time craftily thinking of something to do illegal. And, you know, why don't they just get a job? But I also get a lot of questions about fingerprints. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. People will say, well, identical twins have the same fingerprints. No, they don't. Identical twins do not have the same fingerprints. Now, researchers have been trying to figure out why fingerprints occur. You know, what makes the fingerprint? Because technically identical twins are supposed to be identical, right? The eighth split, they're supposed to have the same genetic material. So they realized that environmental factors could be making the swirls on the fingers. Now, they say a fetus usually has their fingerprints by the 17th week of gestation, so about the 4th to 5th month. All right. And they believe, as you have multiple layers of your skin, you have the epidermis, which is on top. You have the dermis. You have your basal layer. The basal layer is what they believe contracts and forms to make the ridges, which is why, you know, when you burn yourself, your fingerprints grow back, because the basal layer is much deeper than the dermis, and it has more of the decision-making process of how that skin grows. So, you know, it's very difficult to kind of rub off your fingerprints. I mean, you'd really have to go below the basal layer. And they believe it happens with the amniotic fluid. They think, you know, certain currents in the amniotic fluid and, you know, maybe the placenta, I don't know, whatever it touches, seems to, you know, make the interesting swirls. Now, people would say, well, how come you don't have fingerprints on your face? You do have lines on your face. You do have skin lines. You do. But they're not fingerprints. But you have fingerprints and swirls and lines on your fingers. You have certain lines on your palms, on your feet. But they're very unique, very, very unique. And so, I mean, I don't know about this whole amniotic fluid thing, because, you know, why are they only making fingerprints on your fingers and not on your butt? Do you have fingerprints on your butt? No, you don't, because it's your butt. Do you have a butt print? Yeah, you have a butt print, but I don't think it's that unique. But if in nature, I'm thinking there's something more to it. I'm thinking you need that little bit of friction, and you need the grooves in the fingerprints, because it does allow some microscopic friction. And that's why the basal layer of the skin is designed to have that on the feet and on the fingers. right? Or maybe there's some embryonic line related to spiders and Spider-Men. Remember Spidey? Spidey used his fingers to stick to the wall. I don't know. But I think there has to be something to that tactily that they haven't figured out yet. But that's just my theory. Nobody ever listens to my theory, even though I'm right. All right, so interesting. So, you know, the idea of fingerprints being around and when did people realize them? I mean, people have known centuries ago. The Babylonians we're talking Babylonian time, would press their fingertips into clay to record business transactions. So I think they knew something was up. The Chinese also. Well, it goes back in terms of being written and documented, I guess back in the 1600s, this Malpighi. I guess his name is Malpighi. He discovered that there's actually a layer of skin, right, about 1.8 millimeters thick, and it's called the Malpighi layer. I would love a layer of skin named after me. All right, then in 1823, Purkinje realized that there were 9 fingerprint patterns, right, but he didn't realize you could use them for identification at the time. Then this guy Herschel in 1848, he was a chief magistrate, in the district of Jumapur, India, and he decided to, when there would be a contract, to have people put their hand in ink and put their hand on the paper and do a handprint. Not because he realized there was identification, but he thought if somebody put their handprint, it would hopefully urge them to not chintz on the deal. Right? But then from there, they started to realize that if you did the right index finger and the middle finger, etc., that, you know, there were fingerprints that you could use that could hopefully be identified as you. Now, Darwin was involved because some of the other scientists realized that there's probably a unique fingerprint for each person. So they sent the information to Darwin. Darwin was already kind of old at the time, so he got his cousin involved, Galton, and Galton did a lot of the history. So Darwin's cousin on fingerprints. But before then, there's a Bertillon guy got involved. Now, police, and I want to go into police and forensics because I love this stuff, and I just think this stuff is really, really cool. Bertillon actually was credited with coming up with a system that police would use to figure out identification of people, and there were certain measurements: head length, head width, length of the middle finger, length of the left foot, length of the forearm from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger, that would be pretty unique to certain people, and they were able to use that when they were trying to find criminals. Now, of course, a problem happened when two identical twins who had been separated at birth, from what I understand, ended up in the same jail, and they were like, okay, wait a second, maybe we can't use this whole Bertillon thing, and then eventually they figured out they could use fingerprints, and I don't want to this history I could, you know, go on for a while. But the Army started to use it in 1905, then the Marine Corps, Navy as well, and then you start seeing in the 20s people use it more for identification. Pretty, pretty cool stuff. But I think fingerprints is one of the prettiest things on the human body. That and the eyes. All right, when we come back, we're on the Dr. Dolly Show, 1-877 Doc Dolly.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. This is Sassy and Stimulating Medical Talk Radio. I really appreciate your listening to my show. I also appreciate the emails that you send me on drdahlia.com, Dr. Dahlia, my website. A lot of emails about President Obama and the French president. I know it's not medical, but, I mean, whatever you guys want to talk about, you can send it to me. I don't mind. This show talks about everything. Of course, you can call us at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. And please, of course, follow me on Twitter and Facebook. And don't forget about the cruise we got coming up, the Alaska cruise. So, yes, I heard about President Obama and the French French president and the open mics. I guess the French president, Sarkozy, was telling President Obama that he can't stand the Israeli prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. The French president called him a liar. And then President Obama, rather than, you know, disagreeing or changing the subjects and not continuing the conversation, answers back, "You're fed up with him, but I have to deal with him every day." So I know that caused a lot of, a passionate outcry from people who are really, really frustrated with the way we've been, treating Israel, and which is obviously one of our biggest allies in the Middle East. And thank God for Israel and their intelligence that they give us. I've always kind of likened Israel to the helicopter pad of America and the Middle East. I mean, we are so grateful to what Israel does. And when you hear President Obama says, you know, "I have to deal with them every day," I hope we aren't, interrupting President Obama's busy day. I don't know if he has to golf. I don't know if he wants to watch a movie. I didn't realize that dealing with the Israeli prime minister every day was such an inconvenience. I'm glad the mics were open. You know, I love hearing what these people have to say behind the scenes, and what an embarrassment. I mean, this completely embarrassed our country to Israel. I mean, I think when Netanyahu addressed Congress, right? I mean, all eyes were on Netanyahu. I mean, he taught us a lot. He's a great orator, you know, and the man is defending a country that is, you know, completely on the verge, always on the verge of war, continually. And I think we have a lot we could learn from Benjamin Netanyahu. But if President Obama does not like to deal with him every day, apparently maybe his presidential duties are just a little too much for him. I don't know. Hopefully the next president, all right, won't be that busy and that inconvenience. All right. We say goodbye to Joe Frazier, Smoking Joe. For those of you that remember, the former heavyweight boxing champion, he was the first to defeat Muhammad Ali back in 1971. He died of liver cancer. He was briefly sick. We don't know too much about what happened, what was the cause of his liver cancer. But there are, you know, there's viruses that could cause it. There's metastasis. But they just said liver cancer. And that was Smokin' Joe. He died at age 67. All right. In more news today, the Duggar family. Do you guys remember this couple? This couple has 19 kids. Right. Well, now they're pregnant and expecting their 20th child. 20 kids. All right. I didn't realize these guys had a reality TV show. Did you guys hear the names of these kids? All right. I think they're all with Jay. Joshua, Jana, John, David, Jill, Jess, Ginger, Joseph, Josiah, Joanna, Jedediah, Jeremiah, Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Joanna, Jennifer, Jordan, and Josie. Now, I don't know what this fetus is called. Jafetus, we'll call him. But, I thought it was really touch and go with her last one. You know, personally, if I was her doctor, I would probably say maybe you guys need to use some birth control. Get a hobby. I don't know if they've planned on this 20th or not. You know, most married couples don't even have sex 20 times. I mean, good for them if they're happy. It's just, you know, I hope these kids get the love they need. You know, I would probably lose child number 14, right, at the park. I would probably forget to kiss child 11 goodnight. I don't know how I could keep 20 kids. I got two kids, and I still forget who brushed their teeth, who took a shower, who had a bowel movement that day, who got their flu vaccine. I mean, two kids is enough for me. All right. In more medical news, looks like some scientists are going back and forth arguing about the CPR song. Okay, do you guys remember this? All right. This is interesting. Okay. Remember, they decided to change the CPR guidelines. We were doing 15 compressions to 2 breaths, right? Lie the person down. Make sure you call 911. See if the patient's responsive. If he's not breathing, if he's not having a pulse, begin CPR. Do 15 compressions, 1.5 to 2 inches, 15 compressions and 2 breaths. Well, they thought it was too confusing for people, and they didn't want people mucking around with the breathing if they weren't beaten on the chest. And they said, look, the chest compressions are crucial. Try to do as many chest compressions as possible. But they realized some people don't understand this you know, the time frame. How fast are you supposed to do compressions? So they said, well, you could do it to a song. And remember they came up with a Stayin' Alive. Stayin' Alive was about 100 beats a minute. Dun, 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 Stayin' Alive. All right. So, and then they also found another one, Bites of Dust, works. Dun, 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 another one, Bites of Dust. The only problem is you really don't want to be seeing another one, Bites of Dust, while the family is, you know, biting their nails while you're performing CPR. So Stayin' Alive is better. Well, they're still working on more songs. So they came up with Achy Breaky Heart. We all know that one from Billy Ray Cyrus. You know, don't break my heart. My achy, breaky heart, I really don't know the whole words. You know, because a lot of us, we like country, right? Maybe lock them doors and turn them lights down low. Well, that one you can't do. But a lot of us, we like country. So they're like, all right, for you country folk, we'll do Achy, Breaky Heart. But then they also came up with Disco Science. That one, I don't know. I'm going to have James play that one. James, got that one? I guess that's 100 beats. Do you guys even know that song? Would that kind of stick? See, in the beginning, it sounded like atrial fibrillation. Then it sounded like VTAC, but I think I got it. All right. So, all right, these are the songs they're coming up with because they want to make it easy on people. Now, me, I would be probably, I wouldn't be flustered, but I would probably be so caught up in the heat of the moment, I'd be like, all right, Disco Duck. All right, Disco Duck. Disco, Disco Duck. Hey, mama. Okay, whatever the song goes. All right, so here's the thing. Don't get confused with the songs, because now some researchers are like, no, 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 no. These songs aren't working because they're not doing the compressions correctly. Because what they did is they studied people doing the chest compressions to the beat. All right, and so now they're thinking that the study of songs with CPR is interesting but unproductive area of resuscitation, and this research should be discontinued. All right, here's the thing, guys. Just, all right, start beating on the heart. All right, like I said, if somebody drops, see if they're responsive. You don't want somebody who's talking to you. You don't want to start doing CPR on them, because if they're talking, they're breathing, their heart's beating, you don't want to start messing with the heart. All right, but if they're unresponsive and they don't have a pulse, and we talked about how to find the pulse, your carotid pulse is the best under the neck, kind of like where you guys get hickeys in your neck. Feel along there until you find your pulse. Radial pulse on the wrist, pedal pulse on the feet, not strong enough. Don't be messing around with those. Very difficult to find. But the carotid pulse in the neck, best pulse to look for. Make sure somebody's on the phone with 911. If not, you're on the phone with 911, and they'll talk you through it. Loosen the shirt. We used to say find the xiphoid process, which is the end of the sternum, and then you put your fist down, and then you go up 2-3 inches. That confused people. So now they say find the nipples, go in between the nipple line, and that's where you put the palm of your hand. If it's a woman with droopy boobs, wherever you thought her nipples were when she was in her 20s, okay? Like somebody with me, somebody would be performing CPR on my knees. I'd be screwed. But I'm tattooing on my chest where to perform the CPR, where the breasts are supposed to be. And then you kind of interlock your fingers, put one hand on top of the other, make sure the fist is kind of in the center of the nipple line on the sternum, and you compress about 2 inches. They made it easy. Do that 30 times to the beat of Stayin' Alive or Another One Bites the Dust or Achy Breaky Heart. Just, you know, about 100 beats a minute if you can. All right. Sing, do whatever you got to do. And then you do the head, you do the chin lift, head tilt to do the two breaths. You got to get a good suction, do that. But go right back to the compressions. Don't mess around. All right, guys, great show. If this is your stop, you all have a great rest of the day. If not, stay on board, because we still got more Dr. Dolly Show coming up. 1-877-DOT-DOLLY.
Take me down, take me down to the little white church.
Take me down to the little white church.
Take me down to the little white church.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.